Welcome to AM Best Audio.
Small and medium-sized businesses currently account for 45% of cyber market exposure, reflecting a notable increase of 45% over the past 5 years, according to the Small Businesses and the New Frontier of Cyber Catastrophe Modeling Report by Guy Carpenter's Cyber Center of Excellence and InsurSec provider AtBay. The report, which explores the limitations in cyber catastrophe modeling specific to the small and medium-sized business segment, and suggests adjustments to model outputs based on security control information, underscores the growing importance of accurately quantifying the aggregation potential of small and medium-sized businesses in the cyber insurance market to facilitate effective capacity deployment and risk management. I'm Lori Chortis for AM Best TV, and joining us now to discuss that and other findings from the report are Jess Fung, Managing Director and North American Cyber Analytics Lead at Guy Carpenter, and Emma Yeh, AtBay's Vice President of Risk. Jess and Emma, welcome. It's wonderful to see you both. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Lori. It's great to be here.
Thank you for having us here.
Jess, we'll kick off today's discussion with you. Can you tell us a bit about the latest report, how the cyber insurance market for small and medium-sized businesses has evolved in recent years, and what factors have driven the increase in their market share?
Sure. That's such a great question to kick off our conversation today. So when we look back at the origin of cyber insurance, it was designed for the larger companies because they were the prime target of the cyber attacks at the time. Now, threat actors, they would go after these large companies because of the huge amount of sensitive data that they store, and that would usually translate to a big payday in a successful attack. And in turn, the large companies were also the earliest adopters of cyber insurance because of this perceived risk of a massive data breach. On the flip side of that is that cyber insurance take-up rate among the small and medium-sized businesses, or the SMBs, have been lagging behind the large companies because they were less of a priority for the threat actors in the early days. But that changed in recent years. Now, many of the cyber criminal organizations have now shifted their target attack method from more targeted attacks to opportunistic aggregation type of attacks by using techniques that are repeatable over time. So let me give you a couple of examples. Rather than going after a multinational conglomerate, cyber criminals these days may choose to exploit vulnerabilities in a popular software or an operating system that are being used by many, many small and micro businesses because of the higher return on the investment of time and manpower. Or they may launch a widespread ransomware campaign so that they can get immediate financial payout. And the result of this shift is that we see higher frequency of cyber claims amongst the SMBs, which then pushes up the demand for cyber insurance in the cohort. And this happens to coincide with a time when the insurance company's appetite to write cyber is also increasing. And the SMB segment naturally becomes a huge opportunity for insurance carriers to look to expand into this emerging area. In fact, according to our Guy Carpenter proprietary cyber data lake, SMB is about 45% of the global cyber market today. And that was up from 31% just 5 years ago. When you think about it, this level and this pace of rapid growth highlights how important it is for cyber riders to get the SMB exposure management right. And that really is the impetus of our report, because we set out to find ways to address some of the limitations in current cyber cat models around SMBs, so that carriers can make more informed decisions when it comes to their cyber strategy.
And Emma, any additional thoughts to share?
Yeah, I totally agree with Jess. I think to me, it really comes from both external and internal of SMB's business. So from external perspective, the cyber landscape change that Jess already mentioned, that we're seeing, you know, the cyber threat actors pushing more into scalable, repeatable attack methods and driving away from, you know, targeting large enterprises now really to everybody, like the business of all size. And we observed more of those opportunistic aggregation attacks. And that's why, you know, become a super important topic in this insurance industry to really try to understand those catastrophe potentials. And also the regulatory environment, I will add on that. We call it social inflation. Recent years, we definitely have seen a significant increase in class actions lawsuits and related to cyber incidents. And that really adding the pressures to SMBs as well to strengthen their cyber defenses to, you know, the insurers also adjust their risk management. And then for internal, looking at, you know, the SMBs, I think Jess also mentioned, they typically, compared to larger entities, they lack, you know, budget, they lack human resources, right? The high interest rate environment really pushing the SMBs, you know, constrain their budget, in particular limiting, you know, these cybersecurity measures. But in the meantime, we have seen significant technology advancement, and there's more reliance on the third-party vendors, and those large-scale, repeatable, opportunistic aggregation attacks are actually through, a lot of those are through these third-party, nth-party vendor or common entrant of vulnerability. So that's kind of all add up, you know, from an inside view, from an outside view, pushing, you know, our SMBs in a critical position in trying to address this critical digital risk.
Emma, what key cyber risks do small and medium-sized businesses now face, and how do they differ from those faced by larger enterprises?
Yeah, absolutely. Ransomware, you know, is a major risk. I think you've seen that in the top line for a couple of years already, with that attacks being the number one loss driver. And usually with attackers using common entrance points to spread the malware widely. Financial fraud, BEC stands for Business Email Compromise. These are the second largest driver of losses. However, they're also the first driver of claim counts and frequency. So those, I would say, are the primary concerns, both for SMBs and the large accounts as well. But in terms of if we look deep into what differs, you know, in terms of SMB and larger entities, how do they react to these threats and emerging risks? As I already mentioned, SMBs are really in a challenging position, mainly due to several reasons. One is the budget constraints, right? Comparing to large entities, SMBs have smaller security budgets to prevent them from employing enterprise-grade level of security measures and tools. Limit budget kind of constrain them to pick and select the best-in-class security products. But on top of that, also is a limited human resources. SMBs often lack in-house security teams for them to manage a robust defense, and that kind of make them more vulnerable to these risks. I'll give you an example, right? EDR, which stands for Endpoint Defense and the Response. A lot of the SMBs, you know, they don't have the luxury to even employ such a product. Or if they do, you know, they don't have the budget to pick the best in class. Either they would not have, you know, the security teams to actually manage, and which could lead to misconfiguration of those EDR tools or missed patching, and all that can still result back in claims and in risk. And looking into SMBs, within this cohort, we're also seeing a disparity in security postures, a wider range in, you know, the quality of security controls among SMBs, really leading to an uneven risk exposure. Some of the SMBs are, you know, depending on maybe sometimes about the industry, you know, tech industry, they may be more spending much more investment into cyber risk versus others. For example, manufacturing, wholesales, and those are typically care less about these security controls. And so all that created a kind of uneven landscape versus for large entities, they typically have a best practice of certain standards that they push for cyber hygiene. So that's a differences when we look at between these revenue segments. And lastly, this reliance that we talked about on the third-party softwares and vendors. Large companies are more independent. You know, they have their own security teams and deploy in their best practice. While for SMBs, the lack of the personnel and more reliance on these third-party software really create a greater risk of widespread disruptions for SMBs to compare to the large entities.
Customize your data experience. BestLink now offers an interactive company dashboard that provides company-level intelligence in a fast, user-friendly interface featuring interactive tables, charts, and Sparkline performance histories. Customize the dashboard tiles to prioritize the insurer ratings, data, and analytics that best support your workflow. AM Best. Our insight, your advantage.
So Jess, what challenges do insurers face in accurately quantifying small and medium-sized business cyber risk? And why is this so crucial for capacity deployment and risk management?
Well, early in the conversation, we talked about how important it is for carriers to be able to properly account for the aggregation risk. Many of them have already been using CyberCat models to help them better understand the exposure accumulation. So that they can think about how much risk they're willing to bear on the portfolio and how much capital they want to deploy. But the challenge with the current CyberCat model is that they struggle to account for SMBs in an accurate and granular kind of way because of the lack of credible data about these smaller companies' technology dependencies and security posture. I'm just going to echo some of the things that Emma already touched on. So for instance, there has been this general perception that SMB is a homogenous group that as a whole has less robust cybersecurity environment than the larger companies. But in actuality, there's a high degree of disparity across SMBs when it comes to security posture. So one of our paper's key findings is that compared with the overall SMB segment, those SMBs that purchase cyber insurance generally have stronger cybersecurity. And we've also found that some of the key controls that sets a good SMB apart from the rest, as Emma touched on, like endpoint detection and multi-factor authentication, these are not something that can be easily assessed through outside-in scanning that many of the cyber vendor models tend to rely on these days. So being able to properly account for individual SMB's security posture, in my mind, that should be a crucial part of the risk selection and underwriting decision.
Emma, how might adjusting CAT models with data on security controls like multi-factor authentication and endpoint detection and response change the risk landscape for small and medium-sized businesses with cyber insurance?
Yeah, absolutely. As we already talked about, that's such a big variation, right, in SMBs. And so one of the key areas we look into the model enhancements are focusing on these security controls and adjusting these models with MFAs, EDRs, these data points really leads more accurate reflection of the SMB risk profiles. But in terms of how it works, right, from a prevention perspective, the MFA can really stop, you know, lateral movement within networks and limiting damages. And so it's really more on the security side that could lower our cost of these claims and lost damages. On the other hand, EDR isolates and mitigate the risk before that even escalates. So if it's managed really well, it can significantly reduce frequency and the claim counts, basically stop that before it even happening. And that really drives into significant financial impact using AppBay portfolio. When we reflect as a MFA and EDR data points in our book, and we did see a 17% reduction in the CAT losses for 1 in 250 year return period. And that's such a significant number that really, you know, shows how that effectively managed the tail losses on the catastrophe potentials. And with that, you know, enabling the modeling to include these controls in consideration really can drive business outcomes, help, you know, insurers to better allocate the capacities, and also shows how to mitigate this cyber cat risk, and while incentivize the insured as well as the carrier to push more limits over to protect our insured from risk management perspective. However, it does come with the data limitation. As Jess already mentioned, these type of data are not public visible. The control such as MFA, EDR does require more inside out data. It's especially difficult for the modeling vendors. And so supplementing that data from the insurer will be really crucial in this space to pushing all the model advancement into this area.
Jess, looking ahead, what future trends are expected in small and medium-sized businesses' cyber risk modeling, and how might these impact both insurers and businesses in the coming years?
Thanks, Ori. I think that's a really interesting question when we think about it. Once again, I'm going to echo some of the things that I'm already touched on. When we think about SMBs, they're usually operating with very limited cybersecurity budget and resources and in-house expertise. And that's something that we observe today. And it's a trend that, at least I don't think that is going to likely going to change in the foreseeable future. So this lack of dedicated cybersecurity resource and defense does make the SMBs more susceptible to certain type of cyber loss events. So in our paper, and Emma touched on that earlier too, we quote an example of widespread malware attack as something that could impact SMBs more significantly than the large companies. Because when you think about this type of attack, it uses an automated malware to propagate into multiple companies' networks through a common entry point at the same time. And then it will impact all these companies without any human intervention. And that's why differentiating companies in cyber modeling based on their security posture is so important, so that we are not overstating the loss potential. Because even for SMBs with limited budget, as long as they have the right control in place, such as the firewalls, the EDRs, the MFAs that we talked about earlier, the companies can be very effectively preventing the malware's initial infection and also stopping any lateral movement before the malware reached their critical assets. I'll also touch on another trend that we have been observing amongst SMBs, and that is the SMBs' interdependencies. And what we mean by that is SMBs tend to rely very heavily on critical infrastructures like the cloud, email service providers, third-party software, and that does make them much more vulnerable to widespread disruption than the larger companies, because whenever there's a breach in one part of the infrastructure system, this could mean that potentially there's huge cascading effect across the entire SMB space. If this interdependency is underrepresented, or worse yet, is not represented at all in the cyber models, it would be very challenging for carriers to make the right decision about their risk tolerance level and how much capital they should put behind cyber.
So Emma, what can those businesses do going forward to improve their security posture and mitigate cyber risk? And how is AtBay working with its clients in this area?
Yeah. So first of all, right, is really helping our insured enhance their security measures, implementing, you know, multi-factor authentication, adopting the endpoint detection responses, you know, managing robust backup solutions, looking into MDR, you know, having professional team managing the detection tools for you. So all this is really building that defense in depth strategy that we really encourage SMBs layer their securities to cover their network, endpoint, application, and data layers. So that's throughout the entire business model. And we want to also encourage them looking into their third-party, nth-party vendors, right? Being very mindful in selecting them, not just looking at, you know, the business operation, but also consider their cyber hygiene and their best practice in those areas, because, you know, it only takes the weakest link in that chain to bring those cyber attacks into your network. work, such as MSPs, the data aggregator. Those are really important for our SMBs to pay attention who you are relying on those third parties. In terms of at-bay approach, we really looking forward, to combine more of the inside out data with our self-reported, questionnaires information to access that security posters on the insured for the book. We modify our CAD model outputs with more advanced modeling techniques and involving these real data and granular data, such as involving these security controls in considerations in our CAT losses forecasting. And this is really helping us to ensure a more accurate risk profile for the book as well as to the insured. And lastly, we'll provide all these guidance and solutions to our insured to strengthen their cyber resilience throughout the entire insurance period. It's not just only at the time of quote where a carrier provides you with that policy. It's actually more about during the policy period. How do we help the insured see those alerts of the attacks and vulnerabilities? And how do we help them patch and close those security gaps to really helping them to prevent and be better in this environment in a daily operation basis, and looking to reflect all these security control and postures back to insurance incentives to really give them and help them, pushing them to create a better security strategy for the entire SMB's operation. And so for that, we really believe that, with the InsurSec solution Abbey provides, we're really hoping to help our insured and brokers to achieve a better, cyber postures. And then also for us, for a carrier to maintain a great loss performance book for more profitable growth in this area.
And Jess, any final thoughts to share? And can you also tell us a little bit more about how Guy Carpenter is working with its clients to improve their security posture and mitigate cyber risk?
Sure. Yeah, I just want to add to Emma's comment that from a portfolio standpoint, our team at Guy Carpenter is working with our insurance clients to help them recognize, first of all, the current cyber models limitation around SMBs. And we'll also encourage carriers to capture some of those very important cybersecurity and control information that we talked about earlier in their underwriting questionnaire, because once again, it's not something that can be easily captured via outside-in scanning. And then finally, we work with our clients to come up with the appropriate ways to adjust the model output using additional information that's captured outside the models. So that at the end of the day, the goal here is that our clients can make underwriting decisions with confidence, knowing that the results are now customized to the SMBs, and therefore they should be more meaningful.
Jess and Emma, this has been so interesting, so informative, and I'd like to thank you both so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
That was Jess Fung, Managing Director and North American Cyber Analytics Lead at Guy Carpenter, and Emma Yeh, AtBay's Vice President of Risk. And for AM Best TV, I'm Lori Chortis.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.